I don't know how it was in your household when you were growing up, but in my house when we were growing up, if company came over, family was over, children were to be seen and not heard, right? It didn't bother me because that's just the way things were. That's just, I guess, that's how society operated at that time. So if somebody came over, it was okay for the children to be in the room, but we weren't supposed to make any noise, and we certainly weren't supposed to say anything. And it kind of even went throughout the whole house, right? If we weren't in the room, then we were still supposed to be quiet. And there was only one time that you came and saw mom, and that was if somebody was bleeding profusely. Then it was okay to interrupt. Otherwise, no. I don't know how it was when you grew up, but that's just how it was. Kids were seen, but they were not heard. Well, in Jesus' day, it was even more strict than that. In Jesus' day, children really were not valued very much. Children weren't valued until they grew up, became adults, and they started contributing to society. I tell you this so you have a better understanding of when the disciples, you remember last week in the reading, they stopped the families from bringing children to Jesus. And we read that today and we go, oh, what is wrong with them? Why wouldn't they do that? Well, in that day, they were being good students. They were being good disciples of Jesus because a teacher of his magnitude would not have time to be bothered by little children. Which is why at that point when Jesus was indignant, I'm certain that the crowd almost had an audible gasp. What? No, and he welcomes the children to come to him. Equally so this week, when the disciples come to Jesus, they've been fighting about who's better than the other one, so they decide to have Jesus decide the matter. And they said, Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And as they're all looking around to see which one was going to be chosen, Jesus takes the little child and says, here you go. This is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he makes a really startling statement. He says, I'll tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. What? Unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven? Obviously, Jesus is making a very, very important point. And his point is this. As much as a child is completely dependent upon his or her parents, we are completely dependent upon Jesus. We're not going to taste heaven for all the kind words that we've said, all the nice things that we've done, and all the warm wishes that we've given to other people. That doesn't cut it. Unless we become totally dependent upon Jesus, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is driving home the point that we cannot do enough good things, that we can't make up for all of the bad things, that the only way that we taste heaven is through him. It is only through the gift of God, by his grace, through the sacrifice of his Son, that we, that will be in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus drives home his point with the faith of a little child. That's why we're on a quest to recapture that. What does it mean to have the faith of a little child? That simple, trusting, some might even say naive faith of a little child. Well, check out these two if you want to see what the faith of a little child looks like. Last week, Everett, given the message talking about a childlike faith, grandparents brought into me this pic of their grandkids. They were in VBS last week. That one is praying so hard it looks like it hurts. Right? She came home and announced to mom and dad, big news, guess what I learned at vacation Bible school? I can talk to Jesus. Changed her life. To recapture that, to have the wonder of a child, to have that simple, trusting, naive faith that says, I can talk to Jesus. To have a childlike faith. Last week we learned if we have a childlike faith, then we declare that God is for us, God's on our side. This week we look to the fact that if we have a childlike faith, we say, God is with me. God, no matter where I am, no matter what circumstances I might be in, God is always with me. And if God is with me, that should give us a lot of courage. It should give us a lot of confidence. Hey, think back to when you were a kid. Did you ever get separated from mom and dad? I know that I did. Usually it would be in the store someplace. I'd eye some toy or gadget, and I'd wander over to check it out. And then all of a sudden I'd look up and no mom, just a sea of kneecaps. And they're not her kneecaps. And I'd get scared. Where's mom? And all of a sudden she'd find me, and then the world was okay. And the world was all right. To have that same kind of relationship with our Father in heaven. To know that as long as he's by our side, we're okay. To bring us a great deal of strength and comfort to know he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, he'll always be there for us. Now, if we truly believe that, and if we have a childlike faith that says, God is with me, that has implications. Because if God is with you, well, I think that we should listen to him. I think we should talk to him, and I know that we should trust him. The first thing is, if God is with us all the time, we should listen to him. But if we're going to listen to him, that means we have to be quiet. How many times have you said or have you heard, would you just sit still and be quiet for 5 minutes? Usually it's when a toddler is just running around, doing all kinds of things, playing with noisy games, building blocks, fighting with their brother or sister, and a parent finally says, would you just sit and be quiet for 5 minutes? I wonder if God wouldn't like to do that to me. Would you just sit and be quiet for 5 minutes? Because we can't listen if we're not quiet. We can't listen if we filled our entire day with activity after activity. We can't listen if our mind is always racing on to-do list or the next thing that has to be accomplished. We can't listen unless we're quiet. But being quiet means we also have to have patience. What I mean is we can't say to God, all right, listen, God, I got just shy of 10 minutes, and go. No, go ahead, come on, I'm listening, go ahead. Wait. We're ticking away, we're down to 9 minutes, 30 seconds, just so that you know. We got to be patient. We got to set aside enough time that we can clear our minds, that we can just be still in front of God. Listen to what Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 8. They have had a very, very busy day. So busy, they didn't even have time to have dinner. And Jesus says this, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus valued quiet time. He himself practiced it. He would go off by himself, sometimes for an entire evening, just to be quiet in front of his Father in heaven. Here he says to his disciples, we've been busy all day. Now come away with me to a quiet place and just be still and just listen and let God speak to you. Will God whisper in your ear? I don't know. He's God. He can do anything that he wants. Most times it's more subtle for me. It's more subtle. So in other words, we not only have to be quiet, but we have to be aware. We have to be aware of his presence. We have to be aware of the Holy Spirit's nudging and prompting of us. And that takes time. Interestingly enough, this week I heard an interview with Melinda Gates. You know, Melinda Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates, Gates Foundation, all of that. And the interviewer was talking a little bit about some of her spiritual disciplines because she is a woman of faith. And she says, well, one thing that has stuck with me since childhood is that I take silence very, very, is very important to me. Every day she likes to take an hour of silence. She said it traces back to the fact that she went to Catholic schools. And in Catholic schools, she said that the nuns would take them when they were adolescents on a silent retreat. Think about that for a minute. Junior high girls on a silent retreat. Having grown up with four daughters, those nuns are amazing if they pull that off. That's astounding. But this practice has stuck with her. And so she says every day she tries for an hour just to be quiet in front of God. Doesn't always happen. She says when it doesn't happen, it really messes her up. It messes up her day. But just sit quiet, sometimes not doing anything, not thinking anything. Other times praying to God, but being silent in front of God so that she could be aware. When we're silent in front of God, when we're quiet, we can be aware of the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Has this ever happened to you? You just picked up the phone and called a friend. You don't know why. They were just on your mind, and you thought you'd call them up, and it comes to find out they've just had something major happen in their life. As far as I'm concerned, that's the prompting of the Holy Spirit that says, hey, you need to call Jane. And you call them up and find out something bad has happened. Or just the circumstances of life, of where God is leading and where God is directing. But unless we slow down and get quiet, we'll never hear Him. So if God is with us and is truly there and we have that childlike faith, then we should listen to Him. But not only do we listen to Him, but we should talk to Him too. So if God is with us, then we talk to Him. We don't give Him the silent treatment. You remember the silent treatment from kids, don't you? That's when somebody would get mad at somebody else, either a brother or a sister or a friend, and so then you'd give them the silent treatment. You just wouldn't say anything. No matter what they did, no matter all the tricks that they'd like to try and play on you, and the questions they'd like to try and ask you, they'd even try to insult you so that maybe they could sort of get a response out of you. And the longer you remain silent, the more it irritated them, and the more it got underneath their skin. Nobody likes the silent treatment, including God. Including God. Do we give Him the silent treatment? We just don't talk to Him? It's not God what God wants from us. Take a look at Psalm 50. This is God talking. He says, call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. That we call upon God and we honor God. We acknowledge He's present. He's here. I'm going to talk to Him. He's call upon me and honor me when you do. Or how about Jeremiah 29? This is an astounding statement from God. God says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Let that sink in for a moment. The God of the universe says He's always going to be with us. And then the God of the universe says, I'll listen to you. Anytime you have something to say to me, my ears are wide open. I'm listening to you. What an opportunity. What a privilege if we truly believe that God is with us and that God is listening. Then shouldn't we talk to Him? Now, mind you, I said talk to Him. I didn't use the word pray to Him. Essentially, they're the same things, talking to God, praying to God. Unfortunately, when you use the word pray, some people get scared. Oh, I don't know how to pray. That's because I think we equate praying with, well, I don't know, old English verbiage, these and thous and wherefores and almighty God. We even take on a different voice, right? Oh, almighty God. Now, there's a place. There's a place for reverent, right, liturgical prayers. I get that. But if God is with us 24/7, can't we just talk to Him? Can't we just share life with Him? I equate it to, I don't know, anywhere between the age of 5 and about 9. You get a 5 to 9-year-old and get him going and you can't shut him up. They'll just talk your leg off. They'll tell you everything that happened all day long, everything that's going on with their friends. They hit junior high, radio silence. They're not talking anymore to the parents. But up until that time, they'll just talk. God's our Father in heaven. He says, go ahead and talk to me. Go ahead and talk to me. Listen to what St. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you. You'd rejoice always, you'd pray continuously, and you give thanks in all circumstances. God wants to hear from you, and He wants a conversation with you. He wants it more intimate than a formal prayer, something more personal, just to be able to share life with them any moment during the day. Because if God is with you, you can talk to him at any time and at any moment. Well, finally, if God is with us, then we can trust him. We can trust him because he is your protector. No matter what circumstance you might find yourself in, no matter what situation you got yourself into, you have a God who is your protector. Remind you last week, Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one can be against us. We can face any situation in life because we've got God by our side. I relate it to this. When I was in college, I had a job at a janitorial firm. This janitorial firm would clean buildings all around Ann Arbor, right? And so we'd go off into various community buildings, office buildings, and we'd have to clean them. Well, since I'm a full-time student, I'm doing this at night. Sometimes we went into some pretty sketchy neighborhoods, right? They were not safe neighborhoods. Well, fortunately for me, I made a friend there. His name was Dion. Dion was a very large African-American man. He had to be 6'5", 310 pounds of muscle. And Dion himself was a bit of a sketchy character himself, right? He took a liking to me. He found out what I was going into, so he started calling me preacher. So we'd get assigned to one of these sketchy places, and he'd go, "Preacher, you're with me. Now listen, you stick by my side. You don't go off by your side. Ain't nobody gonna mess with you." Dion, my man. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, right? So we'd roll up to this one community center, and there'd be all these people out on the porches and that, and I'd get out of the car, and they'd be sitting down, and they'd start to stand up. Then Dion would get out of the car, and they'd sit back down. Ah, I had my protector there. Listen to what God said to you through the prophet Isaiah. "So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, the hand of power and might." God is our protector. The forces of evil might start to stand up against you, then God shows up and they sit back down. No matter what the circumstances you might have, no matter how threatening it may be, God is with you and he is your protector. He is also your redeemer. He is your savior. He's the one that rescued you. Listen to what the prophet says now a little bit further down in chapter 41. Look at verse 14. "Do not be afraid, Jacob. Don't be afraid, little Israel. Do not fear, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." The prophet is talking about Jesus. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, is the Savior that will come. It is Jesus, God's Son, the ones that Scriptures declare that his name should be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God took on flesh and blood and was with us and dwelt among us. He is your Redeemer. He is the one who laid down his life for you. He's the one that rescued you. He's the one that says, "Never will I forsake you. Never will I abandon you." God is with you. And God is with me. A childlike faith holds on to that, clings to that. It gives us great strength, comfort, and courage. Because my God is with me. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Father in heaven, what a great privilege and an honor to know that you're with us every moment of every day, but it's so hard to take time and listen to you. We forget to talk to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts and would prompt us to make that quiet time to just be in your presence, to just share life with you, and that when situations and circumstances arise that would cause us to fear, to remind us that you are our protector and that Jesus, you are our Redeemer. In your name we pray. Amen.